When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Starting to record now, and Facebook Live, Google Live now.
Oh, nearly. Facebook Live, hello!
Hello, Facebook Live.
What's happening, world?
Yeah, it's very street of you. What's happening, world?
Word. Would have been street.
Right, come on.
World.
Come on, Tim.
Right.
Fire us up.
Gentlemen! Let's do this then. One more week of the domestic season to go. We've had an amazing weekend. We better get our hands in a pod on three. One, two, three.
Pod.
I love Egg Chasers. This is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. We're just three mates that love the game, and some of us have more technical ability than others.
Yeah, I'm technically useless.
how you doing, JB? You all right?
I'm very well. Thank you, Tim. How are you?
Outstanding. Philip?
All good.
Philip,
thank you, Tim.
Philip, who's... You train and eat like a pro, and yet you brought us some filthy cookies. Thank you for that.
Just because he doesn't care about anyone else's well-being other than his own. He's a feeder.
I do enjoy feeding other people. We had a nice barbecue, me and JB, last night.
Yeah, we did, actually, to be fair.
Very good.
Beautiful. So, we've got so much to talk about on this podcast. As you can imagine, talking about the semi-finals in the Pro 12 and the Avicii Premiership, talking about the breaking Lions news and more build-up towards it. We'll have on that front, we'll have another segment of, hey, what's happening, bro?
With some production, with actual real-life production.
Oh, we've actually, if you've got that, well, right, so last week we said there was we had to solve the music issue with that one. Well, that one has been solved.
Done.
And I believe, JB, you've prepared some kind of quiz element.
Yeah, you're going to hate it, but let's go with it anyway.
Okay, way to sell it. Thank you very much for listening. You're probably listening on iTunes or Acast. Or it might be on some other podcast app. Wherever you get it, thank you for listening. Leave your reviews on iTunes, 5-star review, and we thank you in advance for that. It really does help. So, like, I'll tell you what, before we get into any game in any great substance, Phil, what was your kind of one takeaway or the one big thing that's now forefront in your mind after the weekend?
Ooh. I'm going to go for the how wrong we were about Scarlets. And probably from that, the takeaway from that is the Pro 12 is probably more competitive than we gave it credit for.
Hang on. This is the sound of me making a prediction. That's a Pendolino train hitting me.
Oh, yeah. Well, how did we describe the Leinster Scarlets game last week?
I think I said... I'm not sure which one had more chance, because now Scarlets have actually won. It feels like they had more chance to start with, but I think we said Scarlets had slightly more chance than Ospreys.
So Scarlets were being hit by an articulated lorry, and Ospreys were being hit by a Pendolino train.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Either way, they were both going down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, a grovelling apology to Scarlets fans and the Scarlets
100%.
Side.
Yeah. I mean, and what a performance it was as well.
By the way, what a set of fans as well. I mean, who would spend their money going to watch the Scarlets in what we assumed would be an absolute beatdown? And yet they did, and they won. It was awesome.
It was a very impressive performance away from home, made even more impressive with the red card.
Yeah, well, that's Phil's law, isn't it? That teams with 14 men tend to win.
Well, there are so many examples that you cannot use being down to 14 men as an excuse, it feels like.
My takeaway of the weekend, well, there was one moment. I'm bringing back a bit of music for the podcast.
Oh, no.
Hold on. I'm getting, here we go. Sorry.
It's just on the playlist, is it?
It's not. What? Why is this not the right music? Oh, come on.
Come on, Tim.
Production,
there we go.
Production value is already incredibly high on this podcast.
Yep.
Right. Can we all agree Henry Slade should be the nailed-on starter for the Lions 10?
No!
Henry Slade's kick was the moment. Oh, my goodness me. That kick.
No.
That kick gets me aroused.
To be fair.
I've heard Pornhub are having a whole section, a new subsection on their website
always
dedicated to
tone.
Henry Slade's kick.
HLK. HLK. Whoa. What kind of section of adult entertainment are you into? HLK.
HSK.
Oh, yeah. What's HLK?
I don't know.
But HSK. That, just like the balls of the guy to try it with that much pressure on. It was
Do you know what? No,
incredible.
Henry Slade, amazing kick, but I'm going to say right now, he is just the tip of the iceberg.
Oh,
there
I know that.
So
I know that, but I'm just
that.
Picking as my sort of takeaway of the weekend. The one
that
moment
kick.
That keeps coming back to me is that moment, that kick. It was just
the
amazing.
Kick and then the execution as well.
Yeah.
So execute in that under that kind of pressure from Exeter.
We'll get into the game a little bit more. Is there one other moment of the weekend or one other thing, JB?
Well, there is one other thing. It's not game related, but we're going to be talking about it a lot later. Billy V and what happens next?
Oh my word! So as we're recording the podcast, I'm glad I was I made us slightly late to record the podcast today because we would have missed this news on the pod.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because it's just broken as we're recording.
Yeah,
yeah. It's huge. But let's not get into that too much now because we've got a whole section of that later.
All right.
Shall we talk about the Exeter game? Because I'm really excited to get into this.
All right, we'll go Avicii first then, shall we?
Yeah, let's do that. So first thing is first. Terrible week to be a Lions 10. They basically all lost.
Well, great if you're Warren Gatland.
Well, can I ask this question? What do you think is the better outcome? That all the Lions 10s are not playing next week, or they were all playing next week and coming off big wins? Well, they can't all, but two of them would be coming off a big win.
I don't think you need to get up for the Lions tour, do you?
I don't think it's about getting up for it. I think it's about the inner confidence thing.
I think if Warren Gatland could pick, then he'd pick what's happened.
Well, if Warren Gatland could pick again, I think he'd pick Steenson, Sippers and Pratchell. Makes sense to me.
Slade! Get on the Slade train!
Yeah. I'm going to give you some credit, Tim, before I give myself loads of credit. Don Armand. If England wants to improve overnight, bolt him on at 7. He is some player.
I know.
Abrasive, physical.
He's
the boy can run, he can carry.
And when the England squad got announced and Eddie Jones said, this is the strongest squad I can pick, we called it out as BS because guys like Don Armand aren't in the
100%,
squad.
100%, mate. 100%. Like, there's always the analogy, isn't there, of... When Billy Vunipola plays, it's like watching the kid in the playground who's just better than all the other kids. But even Billy actually met his match.
Yeah.
Every tackle, he sticks to his tackles, he hands people off. He's brilliant. He's absolutely brilliant.
He's awesome. But he is one part of that incredible Exeter pack. And what struck me probably most about that Exeter pack is just how bloody big they are.
Yeah, they are quite big, aren't they?
They are massive, and then they bring players like Mitch Lees and Thomas Francis off the bench.
Yeah,
who are also
massive. Absolutely,
they are only
massive.
Yeah. They just are massive.
I mean, from a game perspective, I tell you who had a tremendous, tremendous impact was Jeff Parlin. He ran that line out so well.
He was awesome in the loose as well. He was everywhere.
Yeah.
I think they're going to really miss. I mean, I didn't know how they were going to replace Dean Mum, and they did with Jeff Parlin. I don't know how they're going to replace Jeff Parlin.
Yeah.
Well, this weekend was littered with examples of players who were playing their last game for clubs, playing like it meant everything to them. Freddie Burns, just...
Yeah, he was brilliant.
Again, Jeff Parling, there were lots of unlikely, well, not unlikely, but heroes who earlier in the season or you wouldn't have picked out as as being as influential as they are now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to say something controversial. There's a huge flaw with Saracens, and I can't believe I haven't spotted it sooner. I should have spotted this last week. Mako is a weak link for Saracens. Simple as that.
In what regard?
Yeah.
Because he's too good and he has to play 80 minutes.
You've nailed it. You simply can't replace him. So in big games, what you're finding is he's so important, his ball carrying is all wrong game, you can't take him off the field.
Yeah.
But then when you do take him off the field, the step down is so massive, he simply can't be replaced. Whereas Exeter could replace a whole front row en masse.
Yeah.
And it's a real problem because you just simply don't get many Makos. And if you do, you can't afford both of them. Well,
there is what they probably have the best loose head prop in the world.
Well, actually, what I would say to that is it's not necessarily that you need to replace like with like in terms of props, but you need to have his ball carrying work rate coming off the bench somewhere. And yeah, probably Saracens didn't have that element coming off the bench.
No, because they were a little bit short because you had Kelly Brown called up to cover Locke. You had Skalk Berger, who came on early because of the roads.
Which then gets rid of your impact.
Yeah. So you felt like you lost. And normally you'd have Duncan Taylor coming off the bench who can put a bit of pace and a bit of impact into the midfield. But he was obviously starting because Brad Barrett was out. So you could kind of see just the toll that last week's game and the whole season, because Saracens have had more players playing for England, more players playing internationally than anyone else in the Avicii, and that really showed.
Yeah, I think finally it kind of caught up with them. The whole I think we've come off Facebook Live.
Oh, have we?
I'm just trying to work out if we have or not. Facebook Live, if you can see us and sounds fine, just let us know.
And leave your comments and questions and stuff, and we'll get to those as well.
Yeah.
My favourite bit was, towards the end, Rob Baxter did that bit. Well, like most directors of rugby do, 78 minutes on the clock, and they'll start coming down the stairs, ready to be at the dugout for the final whistle one way or the other. And he was obviously preparing himself for, like, we've just got to keep improving, and I'm proud of the guys, and it's been a great season. We just came off, we just lost composure here. That he was obviously going through all that in his head, and he had one of those. And his face was so... it's weird for talking about a guy in his 40, late 40s or early... Late 40s, yeah. I'm guessing. Who's 6'6", to go, look really sweet. But it was really sweet.
Yeah. It's the first time I've seen him really emotional.
Yeah.
When they scored, he's jumping up and hugging. And that's just not really what he does.
No.
So, yeah, it was great to see. I tell you what was amazing to see as well was how much the Exeter fans got behind their team. But how much respect that they showed Saracens straight after. I'm not really one for all this gushing about the values of the game, but it was really, really good. Straight after the game, Saracens did like a quick lap, and they were treated incredibly well.
I've got to say that's something that I think rugby has to its credit, and was shown at the Ricoh Arena as well. There was one moment, it actually just goosebumps, and kind of actually I think it was... sort of felt quite emotional actually when Tom Youngs came off. I don't think it came across as much on television, but the ovation he got, it was amazing.
And he put a shift in as well.
Oh my
didn't
god,
he?
Did he?
He was brilliant.
Yeah.
Do you know what happened today in the Chelsea game?
No.
Have you heard this, Phil? It's absolutely ridiculous. It's
something that happened in the 26th minute.
Is it 26th or 27th minute?
26th minute.
Yeah. They kicked the ball out on the 26th minute, Tim. Have you ever heard anything more ridiculous?
Why? Is it for a betting thing?
Nope.
John Terry.
Yes.
Kicked the ball out.
Correct.
So
they kicked the ball out.
So he could be taken off and receive... They gave him a guard of honour and a standing ovation from the whole stadium because it was his final game, final appearance.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
So he's only playing 26 minutes of a game?
He just played 26 minutes.
Whoa, dear.
Because apparently Conte wanted to have his strongest side out.
So they could break the record.
Yeah.
There was a record they were breaking of number of points in a season or something. I don't know what it was.
Well,
It's just anyway. Just can you imagine that happening in rugby? It's just so awful, isn't it? It's so I can't quite put my finger on what I hate so much about it.
It was because he wanted to have his strongest side out as warm up for the FA Cup final. Next week.
I don't know why I bought that. I've made myself angry and I've lowered the tone of this entire podcast. So
more on Exeter.
Jack Noll dumping Maro Itoji was an amazing moment.
Yeah,
a ruck. We may have found someone almost as good as Miles Benjamin at rucking in Jack Noll.
Well, I tell you what, the rucking of Exeter Chiefs was outstanding, and I think that might have actually been the difference between the two teams. They're built very similar, aren't they, in terms of like how they talk about culture and how they all get on well as a team and they're good, strong team units.
Yeah, the unity in both those teams is superb, isn't it?
I think the biggest difference is, certainly in terms of playing, is how much Exeter like to attack. And they've basically got those two types of attack, haven't they? They've got the close-in, very, very tight attack, which I love. But they can also... fling it wide. I just don't think Saracens quite have that.
I love the fact that in the final, the two best attacking sides are in the final.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is going to be quite the matchup. I'm not that confident for Wasps. I know that you boys are.
Yeah, right. You got accused at the Rico Arena. I was chatting to several people.
I like Wasps.
And you got accused by someone within the Wasps setup who I know.
Oh.
I'm not going to name them.
Yeah, well, name them. Name them.
No.
Out them.
No. They're within the Wasps setup. So
Is this like the person in the Procter & Gamble setup? We're going to have to hunt them down.
And they were listening to the podcast on the way to the game.
Yeah.
And said, oh, did JB get his ticket? Because I organised you a ticket.
Yeah.
Which you didn't take advantage of, but that's fine. And you didn't let anyone know that you weren't taking advantage of it. So, no, it doesn't matter. And they said...
scolded live on air.
Said, lucky he's in because he's a Wasps hater.
I do like Wasps. I like Wasps. I say it because I care. I worry they've got too much talent and they rely on that talent too much. And I tell you what, when you expected Wasps to do well this time round in the semi, when it all opened up, I don't think that they did. In fact, I think that they might have even panicked a bit, is my opinion.
Panicked a bit, what?
Late on. They got it done.
There was a time... It felt like they had everything kind of going in their favour. Because just before the try, there was... So, Wasps knocked on. Leicester scrum. Scrum collapses before the ball even goes in. Penalty given to Wasps.
Yeah.
Which is very rare.
Yeah.
Very, very rare. They kick to the corner. They lose the line out.
Yeah.
But then they manage to turn it over immediately after the line out.
Exactly.
And so things were going wrong, things were going right. And then eventually,
right,
phase after phase, they got in for the try.
A few comments from Facebook Live. Thank you for it. You can tweet us at Rugby Podcast, by the way, as well. So Adam Parmenter says, feet, all caps.
Sorry.
Just a reference to JB's feet.
Yeah, it's my dungeon. I'll do what I want.
Joe Riley says, Phil is looking like an extra from Greece.
I like that.
It's a good shout.
Fair enough, yeah.
And the Adrian Johnson, the extra bandwidth required to broadcast JB's shirt is causing persistent buffering.
Yeah, I think we do have a little bit of a problem with bandwidth today, which is weird because I pay a fortune for
that. And then, boys, let's just go, let's treat it like a bit of a democracy here. And there's more people talking about Billy V than anything else. So before we move on, and his injury was caused in this game we're talking about.
Yeah.
Let's jump to Billy V missing the Lions.
I've got a huge, huge bit of news regarding that. But I'll tell you after you talk about Cornerstone, Tim.
You tease. Cornerstone is a mail-order razor company, and if you've used Gillette, Wilkinson Sword or any other brand, then we believe you are not using the best that you could. And we believe that there was a BBC lifestyle programme which, in the test they conducted, they put Cornerstone as the best of the brands that participated. And the point is, because you listen to us, you get a really good deal and you can try it out pretty much, certainly no risk, no obligation, and for only £4. You could get yourself six razors delivered in a cornerstone presentation box, which will come through your door with a free engraved aluminium shaft engraved with your initials on it, £4, because you get a £10 discount because you listen to us. All you need to do is go to cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers, cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers, or
Egg10 at checkout.
Billy V.
Yeah, devastating, eh?
I'm absolutely devastated.
Where would he rank if you were saying the last players you would want to lose? Ooh. Who would be above him? I don't know if anyone would be above him for me.
No, I
possibly Furlong would be up there.
Really?
Well, yeah, because I think that's
the only reason I disagree with you.
Yeah.
Is because props get replaced relatively like early on in the game. So, yeah, not massively.
I'm not saying he'd be above, but Furlong would be up there. Farrell would be up there.
Farrell, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
But I actually think Billy V.
Yeah,
I think Billy V would be ahead because he's that much better than the next best.
No, I don't agree with that. I think he's very good. I don't think he's that much better than Talupe Faletau. I think he's very, very good. I think he's better than Talupe Faletau at the moment. I think he's on better form. But actually, Faletau is such a classy operator. It isn't the disaster that it could be.
Well, I think they are slightly different type of players.
Yeah.
Billy V is so good in heavy traffic.
Amazing.
He's better than anyone else in heavy traffic, beating players. Faletau is exceptional. Hell of an all-round athlete. Can be an incredible runner when he gets some space, but needs a bit more space than Billy does. I think you're probably right. I think he's the biggest possible blow. Maybe Stuart Hogg. I'd say,
yeah, that's a good shout, actually.
Up there, because you'd either put Halfpenny there or move Liam Williams, and both,
yeah,
both feel
Tim
not
so
quite
anti Halfpenny.
I do feel aggrieved that he's gone. Gatland said it was going to be on form, and anyway, well, talking of in that sense, the replacement James Haskell. Where do we sit on that?
A little bit surprised.
It was a surprise.
So this tells me that CJ Sander was previously being considered as a six and is now definitely being considered as an eight.
This doesn't tell me anything. Here's my take on what's happening, bro.
What's happening, bro?
My take on this is Warren Gatland knows who his number two is. And the replacement he's going to call up isn't going to be his number two. They're not even going to be competing for that spot of a test place. And I don't wish to sound really cruel or underhand, but do you remember Matt Stevens went in the last tour?
Yeah.
And it's kind of like the midweek guy who's going to, you know, bond the team a bit more.
Yeah.
And it kind of feels that is what he's done.
So I think Haskell would be brilliant for that role.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant for that role. He can lead. He's a good captain.
Yeah.
He's a leader. He's a good player. He's a very good player. I don't think he'll be anywhere near the test side.
Having said that,
he can do a job.
He is the kind of guy who you'd put on him in midweek and would make God knows how many tackles and could potentially force his way in, just like he did for England. Everyone said he wasn't good enough for England, and he turns out to be the best player on the tour down under. So it can happen.
Yeah,
it can happen. I think if we were going to talk on merit, not on hashtag Bants team bonding, then I feel even more aggrieved for Chris Robshaw.
Yeah.
I feel pain for Robshaw. It's like Launchbury. People feel there should be justice for Joe, justice for Chris as well. What?
Yeah, but what would be
he's been a hero.
What would be the role Chris Robshaw would be there for, though?
To play rugby, first and foremost.
Yeah.
See, I actually think... Yeah.
Try and beat the All Blacks.
Yeah.
See, or try and just have... Let's have a good crack.
Yeah, I don't think...
Jump off ferries.
I don't think Chris Robshaw, as the third choice six or fourth choice seven or whatever he comes in as, I don't think he's going to make...
Well, I agree with Phil that now it means CJ Stander is an eight, but...
Yeah, but I don't think... Hear this bit out. I don't think that position in the squad, Chris Robshaw, will make as much of a difference as James Haskell. James Haskell will improve the whole squad, whereas Chris Robshaw might improve the competition for six. And that is the difference.
So I can understand that argument, particularly if you're talking about the Matt Stevens rule.
Yeah.
Matt Stevens.
Court jester. I think James Haskell would be massively aggrieved.
Yeah, I think he would be.
You're basically going to, because you're a good laugh.
That is unfair as well, because like you say...
He's a good leader.
A year ago, his performance down under was incredible.
It was.
He was magnificent.
A year ago, it was. A year or so ago, Lee Halfpenny was good. Really good.
Yeah, but you don't watch Toulon, Tim. When's the last time that you watched Toulon?
When I went to Toulon?
Yeah.
Or when I've watched Toulon over here?
Yeah, but I think you've been a bit harsh on Lee Halfpenny.
Okay.
That would be my criticism.
I don't. I'm still not particularly enamoured that Halfpenny's going. But anyway.
I am surprised he hasn't selected another eight, because I would have thought Stander would have been in with a shout of a test jersey. And if that's the case, and we've talked in previous podcasts about how difficult this tour is going to be, who plays eight in a midweek game if Stander's in the match day squad for a test?
Unless that's what Haskell's going to do.
No, I can't. I can't like, possibly be it.
Who else is there?
You're quite right. Because, I mean, my first choice would have been Billy at eight with... I would have actually gone for Faletau at six. But now...
You're right, Jay.
No, I've got a buzz and it's annoying me.
A buzz from coffee?
No, from
drugs.
From your microphone. If I turn you off, I can't get rid of it.
You need to invest in a new mic. Now you've just drawn everyone's attention to it.
God, that's the
problem. It's going to annoy people for the whole of the rest of the pod.
Yeah, it's annoying me a lot now.
So I'm surprised, because now you've got... I'd probably still have Faletau and then I'd have CJ Stander at six. I'd want both of them in my team, but then if one of them goes down, you've got kind of no backup for the backup for either of those positions.
Well, I think the most natural replacement for Billy would actually be Nathan Hughes, but it sounds like he's nowhere near it.
Yeah.
Well, again, he's not had a great season by his own standards. By his own very high standards.
Yeah, compared to last season, he hasn't been as good. Ooh.
Oh, wow.
It's all going wrong.
But on the plus
side...
I'll do this,
because then it stops the buzz.
Well, it has stopped the buzz. That's amazing. So
perfect.
I feel like a 1950s pop star at the minute. Yeah. One of those microphones. Anyway.
So I've got to say, I do agree with you regarding... I feel harsh for Chris Robshaw, but I do think that James Haskell is probably the right option to go. I think he's going to make more of an impact in that position than Robshaw will.
Mm.
So, actually, shall we use this time to play a bit of a quiz?
Well, I was going to say, do you want to go straight on to, seeing as we're talking about the Lions
and
Down
do
Under?
And Joe Simpkins on Facebook Live has said, all anyone is waiting for on this podcast is the latest instalment of, hey, what's happening, bro?
Shall we do that then? What's happening, bro?
Let's do, as we get you up and in the know with what's happening in New Zealand ahead of the Lions tour and what's waiting for the British and Irish Lions, as segment, hey, what's happening, bro?
Annoyingly, it's not going to happen. Sorry, mate.
It's business time.
Give it some more volume.
One of the only and therefore the best musical exports from New Zealand, Flight of the Conchords, with Business Time.
Yeah, great, great, great song.
Hey, what's happening, bro?
So, what is happening, bro?
So, I've been doing a little bit of research. We spoke last week about the back three briefly and the problems that New Zealand also may have in the back row. I think there's a key question over who's going to play centre for New Zealand.
Ooh, yeah.
Yes.
So, in the Autumn Internationals, the three main players were Anton Linnett-Brown, Ryan Crotty, and Malachi Fekitoa. Now, Fekitoa's had some good things and some bad things.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, you can't.
What is going on over there?
JB's trying to give me signals whilst you were talking, which was meaning I wasn't listening. Anyway, JB, we think we sorted the technical issues now.
Okay.
I'm listening. Fekitoa has not had a great season by his standards.
He's done some very good things. There's also some question marks on his all-round game. I mean, if you saw the try he scored, I think it was to beat the Bulls in the last minute a couple of weeks ago, you think, incredible. But there are still some question marks. And there are some other players coming in. For example, Sonny Bill Williams is back.
Yeah, Sonny Bill. Probably the only Muslim man who can have more virgins on earth than in heaven. yes, he is coming into some in some pretty good form.
With his age 10 shorts.
Yeah. And my boys, the Canes, the duo, Lua Mappi and Vince Arso, who... So Vince Arso...
That's a made-up name, come on!
Arso, A-S-O.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that Mappy... Well, who's the first one?
Lua Mappi. And Vince
Arso. One of the rugby journalists that I follow on Twitter described him as a one-man exit strategy. Which I quite liked.
So, Fall. If you were Steve Hansen, who would you select? Well, test match this weekend.
Let me just tell you about the Canes pairing for a second. So, Arso scored a hat-trick this weekend to beat the all-time Hurricanes try-scoring record in a single season. He's just moved on to 13 tries.
Hang on. How far in the season are they?
12 games in.
And he's beat the record?
Yeah.
For a season?
Yeah.
Good God.
And what's more, so their top scorer at the moment, he's the top scorer in Super Rugby. The second top scorer in Super Rugby on 11 tries is Lua Mappi.
Oh, wow.
So the Hurricanes centre pairing have got 24 tries and they're one or two in the whole of Super Rugby at the moment. And they're probably, as it stands, or historically, they're probably 5 and 6 on the roster for the All Blacks. They should really be looking at getting them slightly further up that roster because they're playing some incredible rugby. You've also got Charlie Nartai, who's just coming back from injury. If he can get some form together, he's a hell of a player. So the Crusaders, who've obviously got Crotty at 12, who's been exceptional. But outside Crotty, Goodhue. So Crusaders still haven't lost a game.
So,
they're unbeaten. They've just this weekend beaten the Chiefs.
In a New Zealand match day squad, and let's say the wider training squad, they'd have 4 of those guys.
Yeah.
By the sounds of it, if they were all British eligible, the British and Irish Lions would probably take 3 or 4 of the people that won't get in the New Zealand squad. Realistically, because that's kind of a weaker area. All those players are so good.
Yeah.
That's some serious depth.
So you've also got a situation where you could actually go for... Because you've got someone like George Moala, who's playing at the Blues, played 13 at the Blues, outside Sonny Bill, who has been in or on the All Blacks squad before. You could almost go for like a club pairing stepping up, like Arso and Lua Mappi, like Nartai and Lynnett Brown.
I tend to
like Crotty and Goodhue or Sonny Bill and Moala.
See, I tend to think that the way the All Blacks have operated in the past, it's very unlikely you'll get a brand new pairing. I think George Moala is probably more likely. Crotty, more likely. People that have been around the squad previously. They don't seem to like to change things too quickly, do they?
The step up from Super Rugby to Test Rugby is massive.
For who?
The step between Super Rugby and Test Rugby.
I completely disagree.
It's absolutely massive.
No, I completely disagree, and I think the Lions are going to get...
Have you seen a scrum in Super Rugby? A maul in Super Rugby? A breakdown area?
This is, right, my prediction of the year.
Oh, no, I don't doubt...
A bigger beating against these teams, these Super Rugby teams, than they are against the All Blacks.
I don't doubt that they have the ability to get to... That they are excellent teams. I'm saying the structure, the way that a Super Rugby game is played does not compare to Test Rugby.
Well, the Canes scored 61 points this weekend.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, I don't know.
That doesn't often happen.
Maybe what you mean, Tim, is Super Rugby against a team which isn't from New Zealand is a massive step down compared to Test Rugby.
Yes, that's probably right.
I think I can get on board with that statement.
Yes.
I'm looking at...
So let's not say this player scored loads of hatfuls of tries against some South American playboys, some Japanese part-timers, and some Aussies in chaos.
Yeah,
that wouldn't be an obvious leap to make to then say you're taking on the best in the world.
The Lions will not win a single game against any of the franchises. They just won't. If they're at full strength, they can't beat them.
Full. Hey, what's happening, bro? Who's going to start?
Oh, so
who would you select?
I love Ryan Crotty.
Yeah, class.
I do as well.
He's brilliant, and I would be tempted to put Arso in alongside him at 13. But I could see, because Linnett Brown as well. If you've got Crotty and Linnett Brown, you've got two boys who can both
do everything. So Sunnyvale nowhere near the
I think
Kiwi side.
He will be, but he's not actually played that much rugby because he's had a few concussion injuries and a few injuries since he's been back. So maybe
not. Does it feel a little bit about with Sunnyvale that he's not really that well liked by the All Black coaching staff, but he's that good. They have to play him, and he's paid so much money they have to play him.
Hard to say. He is so talented when he gets going.
Agreed.
Hold on. Just everyone be quiet.
What is that?
I don't know. It's not my phone.
Someone's
is it?
Phone.
Oh, it's my voicemail.
The production levels on this podcast are through the roof.
Right, I'm moving us on. Yeah. I'm moving
please,
us on.
Please, Tim, please.
That was, hey, what's happening, bro? And we'll have another, hey, what's happening, bro, next week.
I'll give you some outro then.
Go on then. Good selection on soundtrack.
Yeah, nice. Great, isn't it? Well, let's move swiftly on from that onto our quiz, shall we?
Yeah.
Unless you want to talk about some more rugby, we can talk about Scarlets, maybe.
Yeah.
Go on, then. Let's rattle through that. We've still got the Wasps Leicester game to talk about as well, yeah. And obviously the Munster Ospreys. But yeah, Scarlets. Again, just monumental effort and fair play, and we're really sorry. We're very, very, very sorry. We're really, really, very sorry.
Did you watch this game?
Friday night?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, it was brilliant. I mean, it really was brilliant. It's hard to know where to start with the Scarlets. I mean, the rugby they played was scintillating.
Yep.
There's no two ways about that. These guys aren't household names. But, like, Shingler, Cubby Boy,
Cubby
Barkley,
Boy.
They were so bloody good.
Remind me about Cubby Boy's tattoos again.
Yeah, I think it's Cubby B-O-I.
Yeah. So on his knuckles of his hands.
Yep.
From left to right, he's got C-U-B-B on one hand, then Y-B-O-I on the other hand.
Nice.
I think I'm right in saying that.
So right at the end, he points his knuckles towards the camera, Cubby Boy. So South Wales, it's painful. But
he's playing some good rugby.
Yeah, tattoos aside, the boy can play. So the Steph Evans red card. What do you think, Phil?
I can see why it was given a red card.
Yeah, agreed.
There is a lift, there is a tip. He definitely goes through the horizontal, but it's just the. It's almost, I would have been happy with a yellow card for it because it's kind of scale. Because he never gets more than a foot and a half or 2 feet off the ground.
Do you think whoever lets the player was milking it a little bit?
Was it Ringrose? I'm not sure he even had time. So I think if you watch in slow motion, you could possibly say he's looking for ground. But when you watch it full speed, I think it happens so fast and it's so close to the ground.
Okay, so how about this? And does Samson Lee have a case to answer for in that? Because it kind of looks like Samson Lee assists.
I would say no, but
let the boys play.
Yeah,
let the boys play.
I would have probably preferred to see just a yellow card for that.
Yeah,
I mean historically that would have been nothing.
Yeah,
it is. So his head and his neck
by the letter of the law,
but it is a dangerous move that Steph Evans could have done something. He could have done things differently to not put the player in that situation.
I tend to agree with everything you've said.
I don't think Gary Ringrose was in danger, and it warranted a red. It was sufficiently dangerous or reckless or whatever.
Well, it's the principle of things. So if you do turn someone through 90 and they're going to land on their head and neck, it's if Samson Lee had tripped and fallen onto Ring Rose in that situation and there'd been someone else's body weight going onto him as he lands head or neck, it's a very easy thing to turn into a really, really dangerous situation.
Understood. I do get you.
Yeah, I also, the ref is like, yeah, that's got to be red. Fair enough. Clearly wasn't comfortable with it, but
yeah,
it is the world that we live in, Tim.
I know.
So
I know.
We just have to move on.
I know. Because we could lump in with that, like the world we live in. We're just going to have to probably move on and accept it is, you know, winter fuel allowance and means tested and things like that.
Tenuous
let's,
link.
Let's move in. Let's move on.
yeah, let's move on, please. Yeah. Please, let's move on. So Scarlets. Down to, they played the whole of the second half with 14 men.
Yes, they did.
And I was thinking, there is no way, there is no way on earth they are going to win this game.
The back rowers that I mentioned before were just, they were magnificent, and they're a funny blend, Scarlets, aren't they? Between very, very nice rugby, but they've also got a bit of grit about them, a bit of dog.
They definitely do have dog, but again, let's just say we gave them no chance whatsoever.
And zero.
Leinster at home with their international class, internationals everywhere, guys that have been involved in beating the world champion All Blacks at home. It beggars belief that Scarlets managed to win that with that set of circumstances.
And guys who will be in New Zealand on the Lions
immense,
this year.
Immense. I mean, on a scale, where do you put Leinster blew it and Scarlets won it?
Oh, Scarlets deserve a lot of credit.
I mean, some of the Scarlets tries were incredible.
They were.
Yeah, that Steph Evans try was brilliant.
I don't understand. I mean, I don't really watch much Pro 12. You might have picked this up. but I really don't understand what Cubby Boy, what's his actual name? James Davis. Has to do to be recognised by Warren Gatland. And same for Shingler, really. I thought Shingler was magnificent.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's so big as well.
Well, who would he get in the squad ahead of? Because I don't disagree, because we've also, like, Thomas Young has had an amazing season. And again, I don't disagree. However, I also don't like the principle of saying, I don't watch much Pro 12. I watched him have a really good game. What's he got to do to get an international cap?
Well,
it's kind of very reactive way of looking at things.
I'm just parroting the Scarlets fans who love this guy. I mean, I don't really
think that's making your point even worse.
No, I don't, because
not only do I not watch the game, but I haven't formed my own opinion. I just, apparently the Scarlets fans love him, so I'm saying that.
Tim, isn't that how we all form our opinions down here? I mean, that is kind of exactly what we do.
What? Read a fans forum and say what other fans think?
No, I'd never do that. I'd probably read a broadsheet or, you know, copy their opinions. But no, I mean, the overwhelming weight of opinion coming from people who do watch Pro 12, which is a perfectly valid source, is Davis has a pretty rough deal with Wales. And watching him play, you know, it does raise questions. So that is where I stand on him.
Well done, Scarlets.
Pratchell should be a Lion. There you go.
Well, Henry Slade nailed on 10. Pratchell on the bench. Fine. We're very sorry, Scarlets, once again.
Did we mention Munster? Because I didn't see the game, but it basically worked out as we expected.
Oh, it was tight for 60 minutes, and then there was that brilliant Zeebo try.
Yeah, what a try.
Really good try.
The turnover that it was Tipperick, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Who kicked it through. Keith Earls comes back, and then a nice bit of interplay with Earls and Zeebo. I think Conway was in there. It was a hell of a try.
But again, it was in the balance for 60 minutes, and that was the game that was the where Munster did the job in the most efficient way, and that had to wait till the last 20 minutes, which said everything about this weekend of semi-finals.
Yeah,
brilliantly entertaining. JB's got a quiz before we get onto the Wasps game.
Yeah, so circling back to Billy Vunipola and how upsetting it is that he's out. What I've done is I've made up a game, and
the upsetting part is actually that the upsetting part for rugby may be the Lions DVD is now going to have loads of Haskell, Farrell,
oh, that'll be
best
great.
Mate, best mate elements on it.
I'll enjoy that.
Yeah, they're going to have to work very hard, aren't they, to get anything else other than James Haskell. Don't tell James events. He's off on... That's what they're going to have to do, like meet up in secret and stuff.
Well, they need like a dummy camera crew just to follow Haskell around. Keep him busy so the real camera crew can be recording all the rest of the guys.
Wow, the first Lions tour ever with double camera crews.
Are you getting this? No... Why is the red light not? Oh, no, it's a new camera. It doesn't have a red light. Just keep going.
Yeah,
straight.
It's great, James. It's great. You can do this, I don't know, all day. All right. So, this quiz is about is to do with games, all right, okay, where a season-ending injury has occurred. It's Lions-based, and all we need to do is tell me the score difference. So... Let's give this a go.
For what? Sorry, say again.
So all you need to do is tell me the score, and then more importantly, it's one who's closest to the score difference. So if it was 12-14, the difference would be 2 points. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
All right, so let's start with one from this season.
You're right, I do hate this. But go on.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com. Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Go on.
I think the principle is great. I just wish there was a better way of scoring this kind of thing. Because I rarely remember the score lines as well.
Well, this is where rugby knowledge really comes in.
Okay.
So, New Year's Day, Leicester take on Saracens. Does anyone care to guess who the player is that gets injured?
New Year's Day this year.
Yep.
Leicester Saracens.
Player that gets injured is Jack Noll.
Leicester Saracens.
Oh, sorry, Leicester Saracens.
It was Jack Noll. How did it?
It's not Manu. It's not Tamua.
It is Manu.
Was it Manu?
It's Manu.
Did he come back at
for his one game?
That was an interesting noise.
What was the score? What was the points difference?
So it was Leicester v Saracens.
Yeah.
I was working this game.
This is unfair.
On New Year's Day.
Yep.
Yeah, it was. I'm going to guess, if I can remember. 21-13 to Saracens.
So give me...
Your points difference is 8.
8.
I'm going to go for a points difference of 15 to Saracens.
Wow. Okay, it was actually 16-12 to Saracens.
16-12.
So Tim takes an early lead.
With 4 points.
Exactly.
Okay. So Tim... was 4 points off
this is
the point.
This is
so Tim gets 4 points.
No.
And I was...
It's the eventual closest to...
And you were 9 off.
Don't you worry about
so
it.
So you get 9. That's how it should work. If we're going to keep up this
So Tim's on 4, I'm on 9, is that right?
Yeah. Yes, so the lowest score wins.
Yeah.
So it's like golf, right?
Yeah,
okay.
All right. So cast your minds back, boys. 2001.
Do you know when they say that? Like they say, oh, you know, all people remember is the winners and the losers. JB remembers the scorers who got injured, and the points difference.
2001.
Cast your minds back 16 years.
Okay, go
yes.
on.
Second test, Lions.
Okay.
High shot by Nathan Gray. Who gets injured?
Oh. 16 years. Oh, jeez.
Come on. Everyone knows this one. It's a Lions game, boys. It's a rugby podcast. It's what we do.
Mate.
16 years.
This is a farce.
Richard Hill.
Okay.
Richard Hill goes down hard.
Okay.
What was the score?
The score difference.
Yep. What was the score, and then extrapolate from that?
Points difference of 9.
I'm going to say a points difference of 4.
Let's just make it a quick game, yeah. Phil. Let's make 4. It a quick game.
Points difference of 4.
Wow. No, it was 35-14 to the Wallabies. They absolutely smoked them.
Right. Oh.
Okay.
2005.
Wait, no. We need to work out the points.
Oh, no, we don't. I'm still winning.
Yeah, you're definitely winning.
Don't worry, I've got the overall total.
Okay.
2005.
Yeah.
Lions test again.
Yeah. Oh, I know who you're going to go Bod. For here.
Bod. What this? I'm looking back at it as well. This is quite the beatdown.
Kevin Mealarmy, wasn't it?
Kevin Mealarmy takes out Bod.
Now, this was the first test, wasn't it?
First test, first yeah. 10 minutes.
Was it 2 minutes in, I think?
2 minutes in, yeah.
So I think the first test... So I know the second test was where Carter scored all of his points. Carter scored like...
Yeah, and they had a huge Welsh contingent in as well.
Yeah, the second test, Carter scored like 30 12 points
point,
on his own.
12 point...
I'm going to say... 16...
Oh, come on, Phil. Come on, quick, please.
19 points to New Zealand.
Right.
Okay. Sorry, I think it was 20 something points to 3.
This is the last question.
Wow.
Yeah?
No, one more after that.
Cool.
Yeah. I think it's 21-3, something like that, or 23-3 or 22.
So, what's your points difference?
19, I've said.
Nice. And Tim?
What did I say? 12.
Phil, almost on the nose, 18, 21-3.
Was it 21-3? Yeah. Yep.
Cool.
Wow. And last one, Will Greenwood. Does anyone remember Will Greenwood going down in South Africa
tour with his tongue nearly going down his throat and his mum running in the dressing room going, Will, what have you done? What have you done? Yeah, I remember that.
What was the score?
It's a great impression.
Lions by, that was the Jerry Guscott drop goal, wasn't it? Oh, no, because it was wasn't in a test.
No, it was against...
Oh my God! So you're asking us to remember a provincial Lions match?
How
my
not,
God! From 1999, 20 years ago.
The farce is that you don't know. I can't believe this. This is one of the best documented matches in history.
13.
I'm gonna say Lions by 26.
Wow! It was 22.
Well done.
Well done. So, Phil's... I'm not going to add him up because I can tell you right now, Phil's pretty much smoked you. So, congratulations, Phil.
Yes!
You won my convoluted quiz.
Well done.
We'll be playing that again, won't we, Tim?
Yes, we will. Can I just apologise once again? The reason... Like, it's my... And to be fair, if you asked me, Tim, if you put me on the spot and said, Tim, what should I do with my pension or my financial investments, I would give terrible advice. I wouldn't have a clue. However, it kind of has been my job for some time to do things like go
explain quizzes,
come up with a game and a quiz that might appeal. I was predisposed this weekend and I was away with the family and stuff. So JB, I really appreciate you taking that off me. that pressure, I really appreciate it.
Can I tell you what my favourite quiz is of yours, Tim?
What's that?
A quiz you named Hard Pie.
Hard Pie.
I absolutely loved it after Hard Five.
Hard Five. Oh, yeah. Band.
And I think you froze pies. I think you froze pies. And, like, I can't... Did you have to smash the pie? I had to guess if it was a hard pie or a soft pie.
I think it might have been... someone hitting it on their... hitting it on their own... Getting it hit on their head. And it would either be a rock-hard frozen pie or it would splat on their face, yeah.
Wow. Why, if only we had that sort of budget here.
Yeah.
Create those kind of games.
Well, if Chris Miles had nicked my job, I could still be doing it.
We'd have all the frozen pies that we need.
Yeah.
So, yeah, watch your space for more great quizzes.
Thank you, JB. I am actually working on a quiz next week, and I'm hopeful it will be better.
No, it won't.
Better than that one.
No, it's a good quiz, that. You guys won't get involved in it.
No, you know how, like, there's some... There's some stuff that's so bad it's good. I think that one falls into that category, JB.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, man.
I really like it. There's a farcical element I really quite like. And I also love how much you love scores from games 19 years ago. I love it.
I think it's topical. It's topical. It's topical.
It is. Yeah, I like it. I know I do. No, it sounds like I'm being sarcastic. I do. Joe Launchbury, what a hero. His... mantelpiece is, well, he's going to have to get it reinforced with all the Man of the Match awards he keeps winning.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's quite...
Does Warren Gatland look a little bit silly not taking him?
Well, we'll see how badly he loses by. Yeah.
What a man.
I don't know. I mean, he's an incredible player, isn't he, Joe Launchbury? But as you always say, Tim, in place of who?
The one would have been Laws for me, but I can see...
Hendo?
I do love Hendo. I can see why, because you're basically going for fifth choice lock, really. And so I can see why you would go for Laws over Launchbury for the impact that he can potentially offer. But we've been over that.
Joe has said on Twitter, at Rugby Podcast, how is that unassuming, slopey-shouldered, lion-hearting Rolls-Royce of a player not going to New Zealand? He's our Retallick. All Warren Gatland wants is Bosch.
Yeah.
His work rate is just immense.
Yeah, his work rate's brilliant. But he's a surprisingly good carrier. Yeah. He's got surprisingly good hands. Considering when you look at him, he is, as Joe there has described.
Yeah, and he is the heartbeat of that Wasps pack. Yeah. I think the commentators made a little bit too much of it, but they kept on referring to him as the test player, as one of the few players in the whole Wasps pack with test experience. And I think that's actually quite a fair analysis because, he played that well.
Yeah.
Well, they said Lawrence Delalio said that before the game. He said that's the area that Leicester can really attack because they only have one proper, fully fledged, proper international class player.
Yeah, and I actually agree with that analysis. I thought Wasps did very, very well because I thought the Leicester's pack would be a lot slicker than the Wasps pack, a lot slicker. Well,
the type five.
Leicester were outstanding. I think Ellis Genge is fast becoming. He might well be my favourite rugby player. I love this guy. He's got so much better.
Do you love him more
better
than Don Armand?
For different reasons. Don Armand is just all heart, all effort, all action. Ellis Genge is just a really hard man.
So abrasive.
Is he hard? Is he harder than, I don't know, David Kira, whatever his name, Yashvili from Claremont? I think not.
I think Genge would fancy himself against anyone, and that's kind of what I love about him. There was a scrum, and there weren't many scrums in the game actually, but there was a scrum.
Kirakashvili, there you go.
Kirakashvili, that's the guy. There was a scrum close to where I was sat at the game, and this was about half an hour in. And Ellis Genge, he's really tough, but he's got these kind of, his sense of humour bubbles over into the game. So he was trying to do a bit of a mind game on Phil Swainston and was obviously saying something to him. They were talking to each other as they were waiting to go down for the scrum. And Ellis Genge pulled up Swainston's shirt, grabbed, pinched an inch on his tummy, and just before they packed down for the scrum. So he was obviously saying, oh, you're looking a bit tubby there, Phil. What's going on? I love that kind of mind game.
Yeah. That apparently is an old scrum off trick. So when they go to pack down, the scrum off pulls up the top of the opposition tight head.
And he obviously wound Swainston up because there was a fight immediately after that scrum got reset. I love it. I love Ellis Genge.
I think when there was another fight this weekend, which is something very much bubbled over. I think which one it was. Maybe was it Scarlets? Yeah, it was Scarlets. It was Sexton and Steph Evans, I think.
Well, that's a one-sided battle.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Yeah.
Also, the one thing I noticed, Elliot Daly. He didn't do anything wrong, but he didn't have much to do in this game.
He's surprisingly quiet. Yeah.
But I do love it when you never get right-footed people mention the which foot they kick it with never gets mentioned. You never get anyone go, oh, lovely kick off his right foot there.
Yeah.
But whenever it's a lefty, it's always, oh, and it's always a cultured left boot.
Yeah,
where do you get a cultured left boot from?
Harris? I think the reason it's weird is because left-handed people do so much better in sports, statistically.
As in, there's... 8% of the population are left-handed, but 20% of professional athletes are left.
I think it's even higher. Half of NFL quarterbacks are left-handed.
Really?
Yeah, and also left-handed fighters do much better.
Yeah.
because you can't practice against them. Anyway, yeah, there you go. Yeah, so it's a cultured left boot.
Another thing I noticed was James Haskell's tape that he wears when he's being lifted in the line-out, what came off his right leg. There's some... So you never get to see this normally, but he's got a bit of scar tissue on his leg. This huge...
Really?
From about 40 metres away, I could see this huge bit of scar tissue on the back of his leg.
Oh, there so you go.
I thought I went to it. Has he got like a varicose vein? But yeah, it looks like he's had a sharp bite.
What do you think about how Wasps... How do you feel about how Wasps played?
They made a lot more errors than they normally do.
Yeah.
Okay.
That is kind of... It's... a side effect of the way they play, isn't it? Particularly that back line. They try and play
a little bit, but they made some errors in decision making that they don't normally make.
Okay.
They got there was more turnovers against that you wouldn't normally see them doing.
See, I thought they did well. They definitely deserve to win. Better team, etc., etc. Just when it opened up, I was watching them play and it was very fast. What they were doing was very, very quick. But it was quite predictable. Like, they were going from one side of the field to another. If you saw a forward runner, inevitably the forward runner would run past the ball and go behind their back. But they weren't doing it. They weren't really committing to that. It looked, for that last, say 60, 70 minutes, very, very predictable.
I think that was partly because of the way Leicester played.
Yeah, their line speed was rapid. Yeah. And their defence was ferocious.
See,
and their kicking was good.
Do you not think Wasps just played a lot of rugby in front of their faces?
Well, so Wasps, they're very, very good in broken field.
Yeah.
But Leicester, through, as you mentioned, Tim, their line speed, their kick chase and the accuracy of their kicking meant that Wasps didn't get a huge amount of broken field opportunities.
Until the end, and I didn't think they looked particularly good.
It did open up a bit towards the end.
I mean, I'll go back to my point I've been making the last few weeks, is I think they cover up that they're not as good a team as others with just the amount of talent they have.
Yeah.
It feels to me that every time
they finish top of the league after 22 games, they're in the final, and you're saying they're not as good a team as other teams.
No, I'm saying that they're not as good. So, if you look at Exeter, they're a better team than some of their parts. I think Wasps are better individuals than a team, which it can be a criticism as much as it can be a compliment.
I get what you're saying, but like if you describe it like a SWOT analysis in business, they just have a ridiculous amount of strengths. Yeah. They'd also have some weaknesses, their strengths are better in an equation than their weaknesses.
Which
showed because they finished top of the pile,
exactly,
and they're competing in the final.
Saracens have very few in the weaknesses squares.
And
that's the challenge for them.
And the other thing as well about Wasps is every time they get the ball, every time someone gets the ball, it looks like that individual is trying to score rather than trying to do the next thing in order to score, if that makes sense.
Probably the one exception to that would be Jimmy Gopeth.
Yeah.
Who is... I thought every time I've watched him this season, with probably the exception of the Sale game, I thought he's, if not the best player on the pitch, he's top two or three.
Yeah.
He's brilliant. And what's really incredible is his work rate. He's just everywhere all the time. Like, there were times in that game where he kicked chase. Wasps didn't get the ball back. Leicester kicked the ball away, and he received the kick. He's everywhere on the
field.
He was everywhere on the field.
I remember when Maurice Botha and Tom Johnson wore the same scrum back, and it looked like they were the same field player was everywhere.
Just on the Gopeth, I thought it was brilliant. The New Zealand Herald, to their usual tricks, having a pop about.
Yeah, so, Martin Devlin.
Oh, how you know. Someone who never even got close to a New Zealand Test jersey is the best player in England.
Do you think Martin Devlin writes that because he knows he can, treble or maybe quintuple, I can't even say the word now.
Possibly, who cares?
His readership.
We talk about there being...
He writes for an audience of three.
Yeah, well, he gets mentioned by three of us.
Because he writes about Northern Hemisphere rugby occasionally.
We thought that New Zealand was full of hobbits. Turns out it's full of trolls.
Ooh, burn.
Meow.
Get him, Tim, get him. but, you know, let's not write Martin Devlin off too quickly. Does he make any good points?
It's all just...
Nah.
Yeah, it's just... It's clickbait. That's the only way to describe it.
Martin Devlin's written an article. You won't believe what he says in paragraph 3.
Yeah.
It is clickbait.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that.
And it's so ill-informed as well. So he's comparing... He's saying it's shows how weak the Lions are.
But, like, how on earth can you compare a guy who left New Zealand, 10 years ago now?
Yeah.
To come over here and... make a damn good career.
No player has ever improved between the age of 21 and 31. No one, that's never happened before.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
10,000 hours doesn't exist.
No, that doesn't exist, no.
Yeah.
I just think, I think it's unnecessarily nasty, actually. That's the thing which I can...
But it also shows how little that this guy knows, because he says, how can Gopeth pull more votes than, for example, Owen Farrell and... Mario Todgi.
Yeah, because it's Premiership Player of the Year. They play in the Premiership.
And those two have both been injured for part of the season and away on international duty.
Saying, why doesn't Dan Carter win NCP Player of the Year or ATM Cup? Because he doesn't play ATM Cup all the time. That is why.
Yeah.
So
it is a nonsense. We've already given it far more time.
We have. Sorry. Sorry for mentioning it.
To kind of ramp up the hostility on this side.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get him, Tim. Get him again.
What I will say is, Jimmy Gopper, in that game, and considering the players who were in that back line, he himself beat twice as many defenders as the whole of the rest of the Wasps back line.
Fact.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Did he really?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
It's quite remarkable.
Although, when he slipped, I thought, it's written in the stars, Wasps are going to lose this.
Yeah.
When he slips, yeah.
Yes.
Best player on the field, though, was not Jimmy Gopeth.
Okay.
It's Freddie Burns.
Freddie Burns was good.
He was class.
No,
and
that pass.
No, he was.
Oh, that pass, that was,
pass was beautiful.
Mate.
Best player on the field was Joe Launchbury.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you that.
Talusa Vianu, I thought, was Leicester's best player.
Best
Vianu was good. Vianu was very good.
They've missed him.
Well, Vianney, why? Where's he going?
No, they've missed him.
Oh, right, sorry. Yeah. I think they'll miss Freddie Burns and Owen Williams.
Yeah.
I mean, what goes on there to make these decisions?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous, but there you go. They've made their bed, they'll have to lie in it now.
It's going to be interesting to see, because Leicester, it did... So, to only lose by 1 point against Wasps at the Rico, where Wasps are... like 19, oh, I don't know. Yep. There are a lot of games unbeaten over a long period of time. It does show some real positives for that Leicester side.
Yeah, completely agree.
And if Matt O'Connor can get them in the right place for next season and get all the players they're bringing in and all their stars who are staying, just get them fit and on the field at the same time, they can have some team.
I had a really interesting little Matt O'Connor experience.
Ooh,
so,
yes, please.
So in the... I interviewed the losing director of rugby.
Yeah.
Because the winning director of rugby goes and chats with the panel. The panel. So anyway, Matt O'Connor came into the room after some time. He'd obviously been, you know, chatting to his players and stuff. It was quite a while. We were already off air at this point. And he came in and he went to stand in position. Then he went, actually, I had a monitor next to me. He said, can you get the bit where we lost the ball at the end? Can you get that up? And I went through to my producer and went, can you rewind the, can you find a bit of, anyway, they rewound it for him and he watched it and we zoomed in. And I got Matt O'Connor, obviously wasn't sure. He felt possibly quite aggrieved at the manner that they had the ball turned over from which Wasps scored the try.
And did he feel aggrieved? I mean, what was
and he watched it again and again and again. And I thought, you know what? And I've said about Matt O'Connor before that he doesn't give a lot away. He's very straight laced and direct and kind of bullish a little bit, and I liked that. But really, really fair bloke. He watched it a few times and just went, and bearing in mind the emotions that there were,
he
just went, oh no, you can argue that either way, fair enough. All right, should we have a chat?
Was that the steal underneath the posts?
From the line out.
I've watched so much rugby this week.
So Wasps lost line out, Leicester got the ball.
Yeah.
Mike Williams, someone kind of half on the floor, half off it, scooped the ball out on the day. But it was just it's quite interesting with the emotions as high as they were.
Fair play. He
actually managed to be very have that big picture thinker, not be blind. Because I imagine in that situation I'd have been blind and seen what I wanted to see, which was that was a pen, we got robbed.
Inherent bias.
So I just get I get good vibes about him as a bloke.
Interesting. Shall we move on to next week?
Yeah. Our Leo Vegas bet of the week. Leo Vegas love their rugby, and that's why they are partners with Leicester Tigers, and that's why they help us bring you this show every single week, and we thank them for it. They love their rugby. They've got some great options for you. So if you want to have a flutter for the finals day, then think about leovegas.com. Our game of the week is, I think, let's be fair, it's the final that everyone other than Leicester and Saracens fans wanted to see.
Yeah.
All neutrals probably wanted to see Wasps Exeter.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah.
The top two sides in the league, the best two attacking teams, the amazing story of Exeter, and the attacking flair and entertainment the Wasps have brought us. Mouth-watering game. I know, JB, you don't like it, but I'm just going to ask a question that I think is...
Oh, God. Who pick
is
a
there
team?
No, is
who
there any...
in the team? Go on. Let's go for it.
Who would make it into that Wasps backline from Exeter Chiefs? Just Jack Noel, is that it?
Jack Noel.
No, this is such a nonsense.
No, it's not a nonsense. Why is it a nonsense? Why is it a nonsense?
Because Steenson, you could argue, is a better...
I would have Stevenson
okay.
over
well, there
Steppers.
You go.
It's a nonsense.
There you go.
But Devoto. I mean, Devoto is... would you have Devoto over Gopeth?
No.
No.
I think I might.
No, G.
Over the Premiership Player
over
of the Year.
Over the Premiership Player of the Year.
I think I might at the moment. I tell you what. I don't think that Devoto would get into the Wasps team, but I don't think Gopeth would get into the Exeter team. That's how I will couch that one.
I think they would be... Exeter do manage their team very differently.
Yeah.
As in, Exeter have... It's no great shakes to slot Slade or Sam Hill or Witten into 12 and Campagnaro in there.
Not only would I say does Noel get in, I also think Short gets in over Bassett. So you'd go Noel over Wade, Bassett... I mean, you could go Noel and Wade, actually.
Well, Bassett was on the bench, wasn't he?
Because
of LaRue.
Curtly Beale is probably not going to be playing.
That, I think, is a massive blow.
That's huge.
Because it does mean that you would have Bassett on the wing. And
Dorman was
LaRue goes
very,
to
very good.
Dollars is great.
Yeah.
So, although... Yeah.
I think it's more even than probably the paychecks would suggest.
Correct, Phil.
Yeah.
I completely agree with that. And also in the pack, Launchbury, yeah.
I'd take that whole extra front row.
Oh, that extra front row. I mentioned it. Hang on. Have we mentioned that I called the Exeter Saracens game perfectly? 2 points.
Did you say Exeter by 2 points?
3 points, no, 2 points.
You have mentioned it to me a lot this weekend, just not on the podcast. Yes.
You're very quiet on the times that you you've called Sale winning all through their 10-game losing streak.
Yeah, there was at least 10 games in a row where you got that wrong.
Well, they didn't lose this weekend, did they?
I'd take four out of the Exeter front five, and I'd take Don Armand out of their back row.
Take Don Armand.
Don Armand, Hask, and Nathan Hughes.
I'd say Don Armand, Thomas Young, and Nathan
Hughes. I could go with that.
Hard to say. I couldn't disagree with that. I think just as you've got to look at the front rows as like the sixth front row that they'll be rotating through. And I think in that case, Exeter.
Yeah, give me Exeter.
Different level as far as I'm...
If this was Exeter's first final, I would be thinking they're going to lose. I think you saw the difference in last year's final between Exeter first half and Exeter second half. Mm. I'll tell you what I will do. If Exeter win, I'll trawl through an old podcast and find a clip of
me saying Exeter will win the league.
Of us completely writing Exeter off nine games in.
Why don't you go to the first ever season we had of doing the podcast when I predicted Exeter to win the league? Because, yeah, 4 years late, granted, but I did call it. Definitely called it. So, yeah. Here's the question, right? How on earth do Wasps contain Exeter if Exeter do what they do, which is hold onto the ball for prolonged periods of time? Because I can see it the other way. I can see how Exeter can hold off Wasps, but I can't see it the other way.
Well, Exeter won't... the problem with that is Exeter, if you do that, then you risk, as Exeter do, and I think it could be a high-risk strategy against Wasps. They will... You either give away a penalty in your own half, mm-hmm. and you've got Gopeth there who's nailing everything.
Agreed.
Which creates a risk. But Exeter will try and exit at times, and it's what messed them up in the final. Their kicking wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
And it's what teams come unstuck against most against Wasps. If you don't kick absolutely perfectly and you give... Well, like Wasps score the majority of their tries from around halfway.
But Exeter also score a lot from there.
They do.
That's the other thing. A lot. And then the closer they get in, the tighter they get, the more grinding it becomes. I don't think Wasps can handle that.
They can both score tries from distance, but Exeter are more efficient at scoring those close range tries.
And Wasps, I'm going to say, have got the better 15, but the better squad is far and away Exeter.
Mm. Yeah, I do think that loss of Curtly Beale...
That's huge.
Because Exeter could, if they lose anyone from the back line, they've got at least two players to come in and replace them who are equally adept.
Yeah, and you wouldn't notice. I mean, you would. Dolman had a great game, but you know, they could bring in Turner.
Move Noel.
They've got Woodburn. They've got all sorts of options.
I can see it going. I can see it going either way. I think Wasps. What we haven't maybe mentioned is that last minute win was one of a number of very very late wins. They have some guts.
Yeah,
they do have some guts on the big stage. In fact, it was against Exeter in the European quarter-final last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When they scored Jimmy Gopeth with the last minute conversion.
And a few weeks ago they came from behind to beat Northampton in the last second at Franklin's Garden.
So they've got some guts as well. However, I am making Exeter favourites for this. Bizarrely, I am. Curtly Beale's, I think, is a huge loss. And I don't know. I've got a feeling for Exeter.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's me willing it to happen, because
give me
the story would be amazing. The scores, I think it will be...
Or your points difference, I should say.
27-22 to Exeter.
Phil?
Well, can I only see Wasps scoring two or three tries, though? Well, they only scored two tries against Exeter. Against Leicester.
Yeah, they were both quite... 4-2 relatively low scoring games this weekend. They were two of the most exciting games, and 1 point and 2 points in them.
Is Rob Miller fit? Because I've not seen anything of him recently.
He looked fantastic in the Wasps blazer.
Handsome chap, isn't
very
he?
Handsome chap, beige chinos and some lovely brogues.
It's a good question, but I would have thought they might put Miller on the bench, but they'll just move Willa LaRue to fullback, won't they, and then bring Josh Bassett.
Sorry,
in.
You have to call him Villy.
Villy.
Willie LaRue is there as injury cover for Curtly Beale, yeah?
What, sorry?
Willie LaRue is there as injury cover for Curtly Beale, is that correct?
Well, I think Willie LaRue was brought in as their main 15, and Curtly Beale was actually brought in as a 12, which is where he played the last two seasons at the Tars.
Agreed.
But because Gopeth was playing so well while Curtly Beale was injured at the start of the season...
Yeah.
They've retained Gopeth in the centre.
It's a happy accident, their back line, the actual way it's aligned.
Yeah. And also they had Eastmond, who's out injured.
Yeah, of course, Achilles for Eastmond. So the reason I asked that is obviously Curtly Beale's going, but I thought LaRue was actually an injury replacement. He's the injury joker coming
into...
No,
I think he's on a longer-term deal than that.
I think he's off.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if anyone else from that Wasp bat line is off at any point. That'd be interesting to see.
Who are you referring to there?
Well, I'm not referring to anyone in particular. No. I've just looked out around the back line. You've got, you know, good players.
Who do you think might move, Tim?
I've no idea. Who do you think might move, Jay?
I couldn't possibly say. my points difference is Exeter by 12.
So Kirtley Beale is, we all know he's definitely going. Willy LaRue is not listed as leaving Wasps.
Oh, take it back then. Maybe he'll... So and, how long is the deal for? I'm sure
just get Sir Charles back.
And they are, well, they are bringing in another back three player in Marcus Watson.
Yeah, they are. But it doesn't really... I like Marcus Watson a lot. Not as much as I like Kirtley Beale.
True.
So, anyway, I'm sure that one will rumble on. 12 points to Exeter.
Wow.
Exeter by five, I've said.
Exeter by three. Give me
We're
that.
All going unanimously Exeter.
Wasps
are
by
we,
12,
are we
then?
Just willing this to happen romantically, the story behind that club?
No, I genuinely think they are a very, very good team.
Well, I think both are very, very good teams.
They really are. To get to the final.
The league table doesn't lie.
Yeah. They have both been excellent this year.
And the Pro 12 final?
So, Scarlets dodged the articulated lorry.
They did.
And they're heading for a dinner date
round.
With a Pendolino.
Oh, yeah.
in Dublin.
Yes. This is, I mean, it would have been poetic if Munster had gone further in the European Cup. But Axel, the year of, you know, what's happened with Axel Foley and a Pro 12 championship would be pretty amazing.
Yeah, it would be. So, do we think... Okay, let me ask a separate question. We think Leinster's better than Munster as a team, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably just.
I'm going to have to...
Although Munster did finish top of the regular season.
Okay. Do we know what the head-to-heads are between Munster and Scarlets?
I've not got them to hand, no.
Why not? right, we might have to look at that. I've just got a funny feeling it's going to be Scarlets.
I wonder who's going to get to wear red.
That's a great... team in red will win.
So, you would normally say, well, Munster finished top of the standings, so they'd get the home. But Scarlets was an upset.
Yeah, so do they get the seedings?
Do they get the higher seeding because they created an upset?
Good question. Is it like the Highland Cup? I don't know. Well, presumably one will wear red and one will wear scarlet.
That makes sense.
That sorts it out. Scarlets by five.
Ooh.
No. Scarlets by eight. I think they'll be able to reach. Scarlets by eight.
Give me Munster by five.
Munster by nine.
Did anyone see any of the French action this week?
When you say the French action, are they in the playoffs now?
They are in the playoffs.
Can I just say, Munster 21, Scarlets 30, at Toman Park this year in February.
Wow.
There you go.
How
do you feel about that now?
I might change my prediction.
Scarlets wore blue that day.
If Scarlets are wearing blue, give me Scarlets.
Tim, do you want to change or are you happy?
I'm happy.
There you go.
I don't even know what the outcome of the... Oh no, Northampton just beat Connacht, didn't they, in that playoff game?
Northampton beat Connacht and Stade Francais beat Cardiff. So Northampton now play...
Stade.
And Stade had... Under-20s lock/back row Sekou Makalu starting on the wing for them. And I think he scored one or two tries.
Good lad.
As well.
So is he a bit of a junior sale, but that's a bloody NFL player. Who was the guy who played on the wing for Australia?
Oh, Radiki Samo.
Yeah, that's the one.
Or PSBs.
Both. I would like to be like both of those men.
Would you hair like Radiki Samo? Would you take that?
Yeah, take that.
Yeah. Well, looking at my hair, I'd definitely take it.
Be a strong look. Well, the other bits of French. So it was the playoffs to get into the playoff semi-finals, if that makes sense.
Yep.
And Toulon beat Cast, and Racing went away to Montpellier and won, which is quite incredible. So
that wouldn't happen under Vern Cotter.
So Toulon travelled to La Rochelle, and Racing travelled to Clermont.
Ooh!
So some interesting games coming up there.
I'm going to show you just going back, there's the Haskell stuff's already started. So there's now a Living with Lions DVD cover, which says Living with Lions, the complete story. And then there's a picture of Haskell in front of the British and Irish Lions badge going, now with added bants.
Yeah.
And there's another game this weekend that we've not yet spoke about.
Go on.
England play the Barbarians.
Oh, this week?
This weekend.
I hate Barbarians games.
Do you?
I detest them. Yeah, go on.
So, are you not quite excited to see some of the young lads?
No.
Denny Solomona probably won't be playing now.
Yeah.
Injured.
Out injured. Fiji and Joe.
Listen to the glee in Tim's voice about an injury.
That's the other game we need to talk about.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Leeds versus London Irish.
Yes. Did you watch it on Wednesday?
Yeah, so. Leeds v London Irish. Brilliantly intense. Tommy Court, great. Good. London Irish, 1 foot in the Premier, in the Avicii Premiership.
Yeah, more importantly, who is the London Irish winger? He's just incredible.
Lewington.
Alex Lewington or Joe Coconasiga?
No, Alex Lewington.
He's great.
Well, that's that then.
Well, so this game, I actually thought the biggest difference between the two teams was the scrum.
Yeah.
It was massively the scrum. And London Irish, if you took the scrum out of it, it was very even. They both had got some very good players.
Do you know what? In some respects, I felt that Yorkshire, I keep calling them Leeds, actually played a little better than London Irish in the back line. I thought Caston played very, very well.
Ford played, yeah. They did play very well, but it shows how important that scrum is.
Yeah, completely.
And London Irish, they should have been, to be that dominant in the pack, they should have been 30 points up. It should be over already. So if Yorkshire can shore up their pack, which is a big ask because they're playing against an international front row, basically.
Yeah, it's a huge ask, isn't it?
If they can shore that up or it gets refereed differently, but they've still got a shot.
They lost their prop early doors.
Yeah.
And he actually looked like he was doing a really good job. When he went off, I can't remember who the guy was, but it made a big difference.
Yeah. Oh, it was so once. It was men against boys, wasn't it?
Mm.
So that'll be interesting this Wednesday. And then, obviously, the England Barbarians game.
When's the England Barbarians game?
I think it's on the Sunday. Yeah.
Okay.
2:30 on the Sunday. And, JB, something you've been calling for a little while has happened.
The Barbarians will be able to enter the World Cup?
No.
No, something we've all been calling for some time. One, Challenge Cup winners go into the European Champions Cup.
Have I called for that?
I certainly have.
Okay. Congratulations.
I think you have as well, Phil. Yeah. But it's just, I'm not claiming any credit for that. It's common sense. Just like the residency laws, common sense. So the Challenge Cup winners from next season. The Challenge Cup winners next season will go straight into the European Champions Cup, and we won't have any of this playoff nonsense. And the Italian clubs are not getting automatic qualification into the Champions Cup.
Hooray!
It's based purely on your position within the Pro 12. Alla bloody luia.
So the top seven clubs qualify for the Champions Cup.
This playoff stuff's a farce. It will mean we have four really, really incredibly tough pools.
Yeah.
Which is good. It's good for the sport. And it's good for the Italian teams as well. They're finding their level.
Exactly.
Rather than getting a beat down every week.
It's good for everyone. I can't see it being beneficial for the Italian teams whatsoever to be in the Champions Cup.
God, there's so many other things. Let me just touch on the fact that South Africa has said they are going to be culling teams from Super Rugby, but they're not going to be culling any actual franchises. They're going to play in other competitions.
Which was code for what?
Pro 12.
Correct.
Mm.
So
watch this space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a terrible idea.
It's an interesting idea.
It's terrible. It's absolutely shocking. I mean, the Pro 12 struggles enough, okay? When you've got a struggling competition, the last thing you need to do is introduce more teams to it from far away with huge overheads and travelling expenses with no natural rivalries. It's a joke.
Do you know what? But boys, we can maybe talk about this in a future podcast. There's one other thing we haven't talked about as well. Live show in Philly.
Oh,
yeah. Yes.
If you've got this far, you can definitely come. we are looking to book this thing tomorrow. We pretty much have a venue sorted, so that's fine. It's going to be Saracens versus Newcastle. Philly is only an hour away from New York, which is great. And it's going to be an incredible weekend away.
Yes. Well, the last two have been pretty good, as in New York and
Chicago,
Bucharest and Chicago. Last three,
yep,
have been pretty, pretty, pretty good.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we're going to be going to Philly, home of Will Smith.
Why didn't you play?
We're going to be running up the Rocky Steps.
Yeah, Bruce Springsteen, Philadelphia.
No,
yeah.
I hate that song.
It's a bit depressing.
Yeah. I'd have gone for the Fresh Prince tune.
Oh, yeah, in West Philadelphia. Born. Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of about California, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Kind of, but we get it.
Anyway, we're going to Philadelphia. So if you're an American listener, we know we have quite a few of those. If you're in New York City, in Philadelphia, or anywhere in the Northeast, or where, for that matter, anywhere, and you're going to be going to the Premiership game in September, Newcastle against Saracens on the 16th of September, we'll be there. We'll be doing a live show close to the ground, and we'll be going to the game as well. And we'd just urge any UK-based fans of rugby or those clubs who might want to come and join us on a bit of a knees-up weekend in the States.
So can I give you my preliminary itinerary, or shall I leave it till it's settled?
Let's get it settled first.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so excited then. Well,
what I do believe is that they did want to continue with New York, but the ground wasn't available. But it's a good opportunity to go to another city. Because I kind of hoped that they were going to maybe move it around and eventually they go to Texas.
I really would love to do it.
But I don't believe that is the case. I think New York is the plan.
So, well, it's always sunny in Philadelphia anyway.
They've got the Imperial League, okay, the Imperial East Coast League, which is the, you know, like where the amateurs play if you want to have a game in New York.
Is the other conference the Rebel?
It is, yes. They play off in like a final somewhere. So this Imperial League is where our friends from Bayonne play. Now, if they get their way, they might be able to move their game to a Friday, which would be amazing because we could go over there as fans of rugby, watch some local rugby, which is actually what I really love doing.
Get registered and come off the bench for Bayonne Bombers.
They were talking about a second team game. I would play that in a heartbeat. So if the Imperial League does move, I'd recommend everyone who's going to watch Saracens Newcastle just get to a game. Just
make your excuses. Get time off work. If you can get there because we're gonna have a ball. Yeah. We're gonna have an amazing time.
Simply can't wait.
Yeah.
So more about that. Shall we leave it there, boys?
Let's leave it there. Yeah, it is. So thank you for listening. Leave your 5-star review on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, and
tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Let the boys play.
Let the boys play.